Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Free to a Good Home podcast. My name is Michael Hing, and this week it's a very special episode because Ben isn't here.
Yay!
And you know what that means? It means it's going to be the best episode ever, or at least the most professional. You'll notice that this week's interruption during the introduction was a delightful cheer, not chewing, squawking, or gargling, as you might be used to. And that is because filling in for Ben Jenkins this week is... triple guest on the podcast, I think.
I believe so.
BuzzFeed reporter, former television personality. What?
Former television personality.
Well, you've left that world behind, have you?
I was just on the television bloody last week, mate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, current television personality, Alex Lee. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. Now, before we get into it, you are appearing, Alex Lee, in about 2 weeks. At a very special live Free to a Good Home that we're doing at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney on the 16th of July.
Yes, that's right. It's going to be very fun. Yep. We are doing a live performance of the Free to a Good Home podcast.
Also, Dragon Friends is happening, yeah, which is our live Dungeons and Dragons show. So if you want to get tickets to either of those, you can find them on the Giant Dwarf website or via their Facebook page. That's Giant Dwarf in Sydney. Alex, how have you been lately? What's been going on?
Oh, so good.
You were on the telly last week. What were you doing?
Oh, I was just doing a bit of presenting on the ABC's The Checkout.
Yeah. joining us this week as our guest is first time on the podcast, I believe. He's just come from a university examination.
Yeah.
I think you might be the youngest person to ever do this podcast.
Yeah, I'm very talented.
It's young comedian Aaron Chen. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Well?
I'm very well. How are you?
How long will you be a young comedian for, do you think?
Probably next 12 years and then that's it. That's the cut.
Yeah.
What, so when you turn 12
12 more years.
When you're like 30, you're 33, you'll be like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
Nah, I'm too old for this.
I'll quit. You're like the youngest comedian on the circuit, right? Like it used to be Jack Drews and then you like dethroned him. Is there someone else now who's like... I think mussing in on your turf, a baby comedian.
Jack Drew, Sam Campbell, comedian. Aaron Chen, I believe. That was the kind of...
Is Sam younger than Jack?
Oh, that's what my...
Maybe they're the same era.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they're concurrent.
There's a guy called Kieran Lyons who I think is younger than me, Perth comic.
Are you... Do you have like a feud going with him?
Of course.
Does he know about this feud? Enemies.
He's the nicest and friendliest guy, but it's all a facade, I think.
So how was your exam this morning?
It was all right. Like, I'm never doing that subject again, but it's like, it's fine. I think you can, as I was saying before, you can not study for arts subjects. That's a thing, right?
This is like the attitude of a stand-up comedian doing a university degree.
Well, I'm certainly someone who dropped out of an arts degree.
Yeah.
Alex, you completed an
sure
arts
did.
Degree.
Yeah.
Did you have to study for any of your subjects when you were at university?
No.
No? Oh.
Did I? I don't really remember.
Just mad natural talent.
I'm sure I did try and study. Not even is studying.
You've got
just highlight stuff.
You've got one of the youngest minds in Australia right here.
Yeah.
And you're giving him this advice that you don't have to study.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
just write some jokes. That's all they want.
Yeah, they love that.
Do you ever slip a bit of mad comedy into your essays and whatnot, into your assignments?
No.
I remember,
it's not my favourite comedy format.
Comedic essay, no?
No.
David Sedaris over here.
Similarly, do you ever kind of slip a bit of your studies into your stand-up so as to kill two birds with one stone?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
I do, but people hate it. No one enjoys that experience.
Well, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. And I was thinking, because we haven't had you on the podcast before, Aaron, we could ask you if you've ever bought or sold anything online before, like a Gumtree or an eBay or a Craigslist ad.
Yeah. Oh, man. One time I was on Gumtree trying to look for comedians like hiring their services just to see which comedy person was a nerd.
Right. So you're looking to see if like
finding dirt on.
Right. So
comedians.
if like Michael Hing is like, hey, I'm out there.
Yeah.
Do you want to hire me for your wedding or your bachelor party or whatever, your 21st? I can do a comedy set.
And I'd share that on Facebook and be like, huh, Michael Hing's a hack type thing, right?
This is one of the cutthroat things you have to do to stay
to
on
ahead.
Top as the world's youngest comedian.
To stay the people's favourite. But there were literally zero people. Like, no one's doing it. Not even, like, the people you think that would do it. They didn't do it. So I'm like, this is an opening, right?
Wait, so you went from judging this thing to then seeing a market trend that you could take advantage of.
Within 5 minutes, right? Same browsing session. Yeah, so I put an ad up for my comedy management services, which at that point was just me. But I was willing to, like, get friends in on this if, like, the job was big enough.
Wait,
right?
So were you offering comedic services, or were you offering management services to comedians?
I was offering comedic services to real people.
Right.
But if, say, they wanted a gig in their backyard with, like, 5 comics, I'd be happy to bring...
Oh, right.
Comics
all right. Okay.
So you're setting yourself up as, like, a big shot comedy producer.
Yeah, I'm all about the business side of things.
Right. So, do you remember what your ad said?
Yeah, okay. So, I was, like, deep into my Kanye obsession at that point.
How long ago was this?
This was probably a year ago.
Right, okay. So, relatively recently. Yeah.
Yeah, too recently. And Kanye, you know, Kanye has that label, Good Music.
Yep.
And he spells good in capital letters with dots.
Yep.
I thought as a bit of an ironic twist, I'd call it bad comedy. With the dots and everything.
Wait, where were the dots?
In between each letter.
So B.A.D.
Comedy.
Was that an anagram? Oh, sorry, was that an acronym or something?
No, not at all. It was just like, yeah, in line with Yeezy. And the ad was a very standard ad. Mm-hmm. Just listing the services and the type of stuff that we as bad comedy did. And we got one response.
Before we hear from that response.
Yeah, yeah.
So were you selling it as the idea that we would come to your backyard and do your gig and do bad comedy? Or it was just, we call bad comedy and we'll do good comedy, but yeah, what a funny name we have.
Yeah, what a zany name.
So what was the one response you got?
One woman's like, I really need an MC for my wedding. And immediately, like, I'm like, no, I'm out. This is out of my depth.
So you chickened out.
So I emailed her back. I'm like, I'm so sorry, I can't do this. And I sent her, like, the emails of some actual comedy people. Yeah.
So in a way, I guess you were still doing your job. Like, did anyone get a gig out of that?
I have no idea. Like, I sent her the emails of, like, comedy management companies.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Contact like, these people with actual comedians and can turn your wedding into an actual thing. Like,
man, would you ever, I mean, is that something you see in your future, going back to your producing roots? Because, you know, they say, like, isn't it like every startup fails 5 times before it gets off the ground?
Yeah.
Maybe this is just the first hurdle in your quest to become the new Token Management, or the new, you know, Big Laugh Out, or whatever, the new Montreal Comedy Festival.
Maybe, like, I don't know. I definitely liked it. I'd like doing it.
So do you think long term you'll just be like increasingly organizing more and more lavish events that you'll feel more and more out of depth with, and will cancel on people?
Like at a more critical time. Like, yeah,
exactly. You're gonna put on
definitely.
Like
you've flown over all the comedians from each state. You've booked the Opera House, like, and then you're like,
I definitely can't do it. Wow. So what was your? So you weren't comfortable doing wedding. You wouldn't have been comfortable doing, like, you
not
know,
a, like, funeral.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thankfully, there's not a lot of need. There's not a lot of demand for comedians at funerals.
It's not an essential service.
It's not like coffin or headstone. But I would ask, like, what would you have done? Like, if she'd just called you and said, hey, I'm actually just wanting to organize, you know, a 40-minute gig in my living room.
Yeah.
Would you have done that?
I would have done that. I'm happy to ruin people's 21st. Like, that's probably the highest thing I'd go to. Mm-hmm.
Alex, would you ever MC a stranger's wedding?
Yeah. I'd be so good at it. I'd be like, oh my God, it is so amazing to see Gary and Katie together finally. And yeah. I'd just be like, they're such dear friends of mine. It's such a privilege. And like, I just trick everyone into thinking that we were best friends.
Wow.
Well, for sure. Like, you have that like energy and that exuberance, but I'd be like stinking up the place. Like, just awkwardness.
So give us a taste on what you're like. What are you afraid would happen?
Just bombing at someone's wedding and people are like, why is this happening?
And would you have to write wedding gear as well, or do you think you could just do your normal stuff about school or whatever you do?
Yeah, it's like, so Darren and Anne are getting married. How good's cockroaches? That, yeah, no, it's my nightmare. It sounded like the worst experience.
Had you not thought this through at all when you did it? Like, were you?
Well, wedding is not the thing that, like, okay, why would you respond to a Gumtree ad with the title Bad Comedy for your wedding?
For the like, most important night of your life.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably like not a good wedding if that's where you're going to. So maybe I should have done it.
I feel like you would have been like surprisingly good like for that person if they were looking on Gumtree.
Well,
obviously, their standards would be low.
Well, speaking of weddings, yeah. I have a fresh off the hot presses Gumtree ad that I want to share with you guys. It's from, it was posted today, Cardinia in the Melville area of Australia. Hello, mm-hmm. Melville. I have no idea if I've said that right.
Good folks.
And it's entitled Urgent Sale, all in caps. 18-carat gold diamond, eternity and engagement ring set. Must sell ASAP. Regretful sale. $2,000 on nearest offer. Serious buyers only. Worn once. Make an offer.
Yeah.
So this is someone selling an engagement ring for $2,000. What I'm intrigued with this, obviously it's a semi-sad story. And by semi, I mean probably very sad story. Mm. It says only worn once.
Oh.
So that means it's not like it's never been worn. Yeah. It's been worn once. So it's not a situation where someone has proposed and they've knocked it back.
Yeah.
Someone's proposed. They've accepted the ring. It's been worn once, which probably means, I don't know, how often do you take off a ring?
But also, like, yeah, if it's a ring,
yeah.
Wearing it once could be 60 years.
It could be forever. That's how they get you in the ring industry.
Yeah.
Don't you take off your ring? I mean, I don't wear any rings. Alex, do you wear rings at all?
No, I lose them too much, so I don't wear them. Also, no one gives them to me. So, yeah. No rings on these fingers. Or toes.
Is that a thing? Engagement ring on your toe
rings?
Yes. That's not a thing. Yeah?
No,
yeah.
It's like it's a commitment ring on your big toe.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, with rubies.
Big toe.
No. not really.
You're talking to very two socially maladjusted people. Yeah. You don't understand.
Hing and Aaron have currently got like notepad and pencils like, out being like toe rubies. Toe rings.
I've never worn a ring, I don't think. Maybe like a fun. Maybe like a fun ring I've worn. Yeah.
Like a lolly ring like that you got at Intensity.
Yeah, or an ironic kind of ring, like a very gauche ring that I've won at Intensity. Mostly rings that I've won at video game parlors worn.
Didn't you have some friendship rings at one stage?
With who?
With like Ben and Pat?
I don't think so. What do you?
Wasn't
I don't
it
know.
Some like best friend's ring you guys were all wearing for a while?
Look, I doubt that if I had a best friend ring, I would have done it with bloody Ben Jenkins and Patrick. McKay, let me tell you. no, I mean, so you think this is you think this has been worn for 60 odd years and that counts as once? Don't you have to take it off when you shower or something? Or do you?
I don't. I think people leave
them
on.
People leave them on.
Really?
Except when you go out on Friday night and leave them boo at home.
Yeah.
This is probably quite revealing about my parents then, because my parents don't wear their wedding rings day to day. I think they would wear it if they're getting dressed up, they'll put them on, like a formal wedding
ring. All right.
But day to day, I don't think they do. Like, I know this because my mum leaves her wedding ring on the like next to the stove, like there's some little hooks we leave like rubber bands on, and her wedding rings are also there.
Yeah, so she's not like not wearing it out of care for it, or she is.
Well, she is leaving it above the stove with the rubber bands.
I think it's because of her job. I think it's like ties, maybe. Like, you know how doctors don't wear ties because they're germy or whatever. Maybe there's something to do with rings. I don't know. I haven't asked her about it. Mm. My dad just doesn't have a wedding ring, so I don't know what's going on there. But he doesn't wear one that doesn't have one. So.
My parents just gave me and my sister their wedding rings like a couple of weeks ago.
What?
They were just like, well, they weren't. Yeah, I think my mum just decided to upgrade at some stage, she's like, I want a new one. So she like went and bought herself a new one.
Now, your parents are still together.
Yes, yeah, yeah. They're both together.
This wasn't a spiteful like divorce.
They just sat us down at the table. No, we were just like talking about like family heirlooms one night at dinner, and Mum was like, oh, you guys like want our stuff? And we're like, yeah.
So had your dad.
So like they went and got it out of the safe, and there was like, my mum said like, I could have her one and my sister could have my dad's ones because she's got fatter fingers than me. And I was like, yes, like mine's going to be a really nice one. And the one my mum gave me is like really, really chunky, like this chunky silver thing.
Yeah.
It looked quite masculine. And my sister and my dad's one had a freaking diamond in it and my sister really? Got it. So I got totally
Maybe
ripped
you got
off.
Tricked.
Engagement or tricked. Wedding ring? So your mum gave you her wedding band.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no like big old jewel on it or anything?
No, nothing. It's quite nice though, but it's like, oh, I thought it would be more sparkly.
So you enjoy having it? Like you don't wear rings, but you like...
No, I like to have it. It's too... Cool.
Was this a family heirloom passed down from her mother or father to you?
No,
to
I don't think so. No? I think it was just like a gross ring from the 70s.
When did she replace her gross ring?
Probably 95.
Oh, so it's like 20 years ago, right? So she's giving you a ring she hasn't worn in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And was the kind of hint, hey, ding dong,
ding dong, you're married to your sister now because I certainly can't get you two married.
Is your sister married?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So this does seem like a very big hint from the parents.
You know what? It probably is.
But you hadn't thought of that before.
Like, you've both got long-term partners. We are not getting any younger, and I've got no photos to show the tennis ladies. So.
Oh, she wants them babies, you think?
I don't know.
Aaron, what's your marital status right now?
Complicated.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how married are you?
Probably a 4.2.
I've never
been married.
I've never been married.
Fully.
Fully, just half marriage.
Yeah, virgin fingers.
Would you be interested in buying a $2,000 wedding ring? It's $2,000.
And why is it so urgent? That's my question.
Why is it so urgent?
This does suggest some sort of curse, I think, right? They've worn it once, they've turned to stone or been engulfed in flames, and now they need to move the curse on to some sort of virgin fingers, Aaron. You know.
$2,000 is too much, though.
How much would you pay for a ring?
I don't have that. At this point in my life, like, for a ring, like, honestly, I'd pay around $100 if it was
if they gave me
this $2,000 ring for $100, I would. That's an investment, right?
Yeah, so you just keep that for when the big day comes.
Are you do you feel a bit cash strapped right now? Like the comedy business isn't going as well as you thought it would?
Well, you know, engagement rings are meant to be like a third of your year's salary. That sounds like a lot. The wrong number, doesn't it?
A third.
But it's meant to be like a real big chunk. Oh, no, like a month's salary. Maybe a month's salary.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that I could buy a ring for a month of my salary. Like I certainly do not earn enough money to I don't know. I'm not interested in this at all. Let's move on. Hey, Aaron, do you have a classified that you want to share?
Sure. This one's my favorite one. It's the title is Wanted. Looking for any free dog signs. The pictures, the ad first says, like the title say, please contact me. Cheers. Thanks. With an X. Look below, smiley face. And there are four pictures of dog signs. So the first one is classic, warning, dangerous dog with a very angry looking dog. Next one, beware of the dog, classic. Third one, area patrolled, trained attack dog. So it's like varying in scale. And the last one is warning. Bad dog. And it's a picture of this little puggy looking dog. Yeah.
What intrigues you about this?
Does this person have a dog? Like, is this a thing? Like, or do they want to look like they have a dog?
Oh, so you're saying the sign would do the job of a dog if the sign is convincing enough.
Yeah. Because these are all pretty intense signs. I don't know.
The other thing is with those signs, like, with these signs, like, this person has gone to the effort of finding these signs on the internet and putting them on Gumtree. Like, surely the next thing to do is just print them out and then you've got those free signs. Adding an extra step to this process.
Yeah.
It's like this person is wanting to be real intimidating, but is financially like not good, not in a good place.
Oh, so you're saying this person, like that
that's what I think.
Their ambition is slightly outside of their grasp.
Yeah, outside of their reach. They want to be running this operation, but they can't afford it. Like
there's some high security thing they're doing. Like they've got a drug lab at home. That so far is just like...
It's still in the investment process. Yeah, like they need everything they can get right now.
It's just talcum powder and some bowls.
So have you ever... I mean, are you convinced by these signs if you saw them in a house? Would you not rob this house? Would you not, kind of invade their personal property if you knew if these signs were up?
Yeah, they're pretty... I was bitten by a dog in recent history, so...
What do you mean you were bitten by a dog? What?
Have you guys never been bitten by dogs?
No,
I had a dog for like 15 years. I never got bitten.
Bit.
I mean, maybe I got like licked a bit. It's not the same though, is it?
Yeah.
What happened with your dog
bite?
Like
I was flying, people's like doing like a letterbox job,
Why were you doing that? Like, what were you flying for? Dog food?
I can't remember. It's just a letterbox
job. Oh, this is just a job you had, right? Yeah.
And a dog ran off from a leash on a pole and bit me on my butt. Like that was it.
That's
so
awful.
So if
sorry
I saw to... this sign, aww, I'd be like,
"How long ago was this?"
Like a few years ago. Everything that happens to me happened recently. I've only started experiencing stuff in the last 4 years.
So what happened? Did you have to go get a tetanus shot and stuff, or?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. And was the dog like put down or anything? I don't know. Is that what happens? No.
It wasn't like horrendous.
Oh right.
Yeah, it was pretty minor.
Did it break the skin?
A little, I had jeans on, so it's all good.
And did the owner come and apologize or anything, or?
Yeah, but it was super defensive about the dog. Like, you want to keep the dog alive, right?
But what do you mean defensive? Like, were you taunting the dog or something, or?
He was, like, wiggling his butt at it, like, hey, dog.
I'm going to get a bit of it. No, they were, like, defending the dog. It was like, no, you, he didn't do anything.
This sounds like victim blaming to me.
Yeah.
Oh,
a little bit.
Did you stand up for yourself? Were you like, I was just flying and this dog bit me or?
Yeah, a bit. But I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that was good. It's not a big thing in my life.
I feel like you seem reticent to talk about this, Aaron. I feel like there's been some sort of court injunction where like, they countersued you and now you're not allowed to.
I made a lot of money.
As a result, you're allowed to like name names or something? Yeah. I don't know. Of those signs, which is the sign you find most convincing?
Area patrolled trained attack dogs. I reckon that's...
Are you allowed to
sounds like there's a whole system.
Are you allowed to have trained attack dogs in 2015? I feel like that's not... That sounds very dangerous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're
like
trained.
In the Melbourne CBD. Like, this isn't out on a farm somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
This is inner city Melbourne.
Yeah.
Patrolling, like, your, penthouse apartment or whatever, just attack dogs. Hey, let's move on. Alex, do you have one there?
Yeah. This one is from Aberfoyle Park in South Australia.
All right. Hello, South Australia.
It's called Aussie Bogan Scrap Steel Removals. Free. Hi, Bogans. I want your steel. Anything from white goods, e.g. fridges, freezers, washing machines, ovens, air conditioners, car batteries, car parts, in brackets, steel, electric cabling, basically anything I can get on my trailer, 7x5, any steel, even rusty. I love it. Call me Adelaide Southern Area.
And then the photo, am I right? The photo there is...
Yeah, the photo here is... VB, a VB logo, but on it is very Bogan. And the next picture. The next one is so like a clip art of the recycling symbol. So those three arrows. And this is the few things about this. I mean, first of all, what does he want to do with all this steel? He's just like, I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
He's not offering a service. Like, he's not doing, I'm going to do white goods removal for you for a fee. He just wants steel. He just bloody loves it, and he only wants to get it from Bogans.
Is he paying for it?
No, he says free, and he only wants used steel.
So presumably this person is building a robot or decorating. I don't know.
But a very Bogan Australian.
Yeah. What do you think is... What do you possibly think could be the relevance of aiming this ad at Bogans?
Chappie 2, Australia.
So, like, if you're listening to this overseas and you're not sure, a Bogan is like, it's like a kind of a classist word that Australians use to describe people who are, who I guess, embody like the negative stereotypes of Australia, I think. That's probably it. Yeah.
Like a redneck. It'd
be similar to like a redneck or something. And it's kind of a it's a weird word actually, because it seems like it's totally okay in polite company to like make jokes about bogans, but in reality, it's just kind of making fun of poor people, right? Like that's what it feels like to me. But in this instance, they're aiming this ad at bogans. Like, what do they want to achieve by like what is it that bogans are going to offer you in terms of steel that you can't get from just anyone else?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, can you read it back, Alex, in a snooty voice? Like it's rich person who's not.
Oh!
You know what I mean? They're like, oh, okay. It's so good to be at the colonies again type thing.
Hi, bogans. I want your steel. Anything from white goods, e.g. fridges, freezers, washing machines, ovens, air conditioners, car batters, car parts, steel, electrical cabling, basically anything I can get on my trailer, 7x5. Any steel, even rusty, I love it. Call me.
Yeah, that's like a Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, that's how rich people sound, I'm pretty sure.
Do you think this is the way the rich keep us down? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Steel, because they know they're going to use it against. They know we're going to use it against them in the revolution.
Oh, so this person is probably building some sort of Bastille style blockade.
Exactly. So they're going to take all the steel from the bogans. So when we're like, eat the rich, and we go and we try and smash their houses, they're going to be like, oh, I can't hear you from behind all my steel walls. Suck it, bogans. You thought I was taking away your things for free. I mean, probably that's
I assume that's what's going on. Yeah.
Can I just say there's another little ad under this one? Oh, more from this seller. So another one from this person. I'll do it in the same voice.
Yeah.
Cactus plants, free if you dig up. A lot of cactus plants, free if you dig them up. Help yourself at the front of 10 Pine Drive, Aberfoyle Park. So this person just like wants
offering
stuff.
Free.
There's some sort of economy that operates in their head where they can get steel for free and you can take any of their cactuses if you dig them up yourself.
I have a relative, a very, very distant relative, who owns one of the biggest cacti like gardens or whatever, or collections in the Southern Hemisphere, or maybe in the world, I think. It's like the Southern Hemisphere. Really? It's like in the top sort of 100 cactus collections in the world or whatever. It's like one of the biggest. And it's in Lightning Ridge in sort of central New South Wales or north central New South Wales. And it's like a very, very distant relative. But I will say there is a direct correlation between people who collect cacti and like just crazy like tinfoil hat types. Do you know what I mean? Like it seems... I think it's like living in the desert and maybe some sort of isolation that breeds this.
Yeah,
but
right.
Maybe 7 years ago, I went on a road trip with a friend and we were out in Lightning Ridge and I was like, hey, do you know I've got some family here? And they were like, no, you don't, you bloody inner city, you know, what. And I was like, no, seriously, my great-grandmother's from this area. I'm sure like if we ask around, we'll be able to find some people. Blah, blah, blah. So I was asking around about my great-grandmother's maiden last name, which is Jackman.
So you're just like going around being like, hey, Jackman's Lightning Ridge?
Well, kind of, yeah. She is ethnically Chinese, but like, you know the way like sometimes your name gets like, trans people when they come up to Australia, their names get anglicized?
Yeah.
So I think it was like a Chinese word, but it got changed to Jackman, right?
Oh, right.
And so we used to call it...
Oh, that explains Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
The most famous Chinese Australian.
And so we went around the town. We were asking at the local pub or whatever, you know, hey, my great-grandmother's from here, blah, blah, blah. Her name was Linda Jackman and blah, blah, blah. She was born here in like 1912 or whatever, you know. And I'm talking about this. And I was saying they used to own this corner store and, you know, I'd spoken to my great-grandmother, you know, and asked her about facts and stuff. And they were like, oh, you should go visit these people. They're totally related to you. And I was like, whoa. And so we drove out to this place and it was like, seriously, it was like a trailer and this like plantation of cacti.
Oh my God.
And all these signs being like, hey, this is the world's like, or the biggest thing in Australia or in the world or whatever. Where it was like this giant, it was like hectares of cacti.
Yeah.
And they weren't giving them away for free or anything. It wasn't a nursery. It was just this guy. And he was like a proper nut job, like tinfoil hat, like I'm off the grid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people knew of him too.
Yeah. Well, it was a tourist thing. Like you could go there and walk around the nursery for like $10 or whatever, but you couldn't go behind his giant fancy director.
Did he charge you?
I think we paid to go in, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I can't remember what happened. I think I didn't lead with the, hello, I'm a distant relative. That's weird. That's a weird thing to
do.
It was also weird because he was like, he would have identified as a white person. Do you know what I mean?
Right, and he was ethnically Chinese also.
Well, in part. So generationally, right. He's from the same... He and I are related at the point of my great-grandmother.
Okay.
Right, or sorry, at the point of my great-great-grandmother because it's my great-grandmother's brother or sister or something.
Yeah.
Right? And but his family had decided to intermarry with the local white population or whatever.
Probably not much of a choice in Lightning Ridge, I imagine.
Well, my great-grandmother found a Chinese person to marry in Lightning Ridge. And then my grandmother found a Chinese person to marry in Walgett. And then my mum found a Chinese person to marry in Kingsgrove. Like it feels weird to me that my parents have... My family has been in Australia for 150 years or whatever. And we have maintained, like, very pure bloodlines.
The way you're talking makes it sound like you're... This person who owns the cactus farm is just crazy because he's, you know, would you call him a blood trader? Like, yeah, is that he's?
I guess
he's
what
ruining...
I'm saying is mixing the races causes insanity. That's obviously my point, Alex Lee.
So he looks white.
That's he what looks I mean. Like he, a white he looks pretty white. I wouldn't have thought he had like Chinese ancestry. I guess it would be like so it'd be like 1/8, I guess, if you have one great grandparent who's Chinese, probably 1/8 or something. I don't know. Aaron Chen, what is your ethnicity?
Full blood Chinese.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's one from one, two from two. Uh-oh. Alex Lee, what do you got?
Please don't tell the Hing family, they'll get very mad.
The racist Hing family.
I'm half Chinese. Yeah. Is this the most Chinese Frito a good home you've ever had?
It would be. Well, this is like 2.5 out of 3. Yeah. What's that, 5/6?
Yeah.
The maximum any other episode could have is 2 because...
Yeah,
Ben
2 out of 3.
Is,
yeah, because Ben is fully white. Oh, I mean, I don't know. Ben could have Chinese ancestry. Maybe like this guy looked about as white as Ben does.
Really?
So like Ben could have be 1/8 Chinese. I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
I have no
information. Let's not rule it out.
All right, let's move on. Hey, I've taken this one from Sydney Craigslist. And it's entitled Holden Commodore P-Plater Ute Drivers. Man looking for a man, 40, in Campbelltown/Narellan. Hi, I'm a 40-year-old Aussie married bi dominant top dad guy who drives an SSV8 Commodore Ute. I'm looking for P-Platers to have some discreet M2M fun. Looking to go driving and then have some fun guy on guy play in discreet places or talk and work the Utes. This was posted about a week ago. Now, Aaron Chan, do you have your full license?
I'm a P-plater.
Alex, do you have your license?
No.
Oh, you don't have, you know, you're not even on your P's?
No.
Oh, I see. What do you think is the appeal of a P-plater? Like, what does this person want?
What is the connection that two P-platers have?
No, this guy's not a P-plater.
He's not. 40.
No, he's a 40-year-old dude. He's looking for a P-plater.
I think that's the safest way to say young person without getting...
Without being creeper.
Arrested.
Oh!
Do you reckon?
So you reckon it's like... You reckon it's like code for I want a young... I want a...
Yeah, or he just likes inexperienced drivers like that.
He's like,
that just gets him off.
Yeah. Indicate at the wrong time. Oh, yeah. Park poorly.
That's a pretty accurate description of someone who doesn't know how to drive for someone who doesn't know how to drive.
I do a lot of watching people drive because I get driven around a lot.
Yeah, I've given you a list before.
You sure have, and you're great.
Thanks, Alex Lee.
You're a full license, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, I am 30 years old, so it would be weird if
your
I did.
Your youthful exuberance just makes me think you're a P-plater.
I had my P's for a very long time, though. I was on my P's till I was like 25 or something. Not because... I wasn't eligible to get my full license just because I didn't bother
Couldn't
to.
Be bothered. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember one time I went to renew my red P's.
Yeah.
So I'm sure international listeners, you would know that like it's a provisional driver's license. So you go from having your learner's driver's to your provisional to getting your full license. And there's two types in New South Wales. There's two types of P plates. There's your red P's you get first, and then you use your green P. You know, the green P's you've got to update to. And I went to renew my red P's, and they were like, oh, you can just do the test and do your green P's. And I was like, oh, no, look, I haven't studied for the test. I think I'll just renew it. And they were like, it costs, I think for some reason it was like, it's like $20 more, you can get your green license. Yeah. You might as well just do it. And I'm like, I really And so they talked me into it. I did the test and I fucking failed it. And then afterwards I was like, oh, well, I guess I need to renew my license. So I had to like pay do the test, which I failed. But it was a bloody upsell. It was a bloody upsell.
And they knew, they were like, this guy's not ready. Yeah, he's got red peas written all over him.
what kind of license are you on, Aaron?
Green peas.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like getting him every time I can.
You're nailing
it. As soon as I can. Yeah.
So
right.
Will you be able to take me for driving lessons soon?
Yes, in like after next Comedy Fest, Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I measure it, because that's when I got it.
Well, so you do it after the Comedy Festival every year, right? So you come back from the Comedy Festival and then just do a bit of driving admin.
Do the circuit, then do the circuit.
Why haven't you got your license, Alex Lee?
Why haven't I? It's a great question.
Is it because you're holding out to do some mad P-plate action with a 4-year-old dude?
Yeah, did that guy say he was a top dad? Like he's a really good dad?
I think there are commas that are that are not present in this that should be.
Right.
I think he meant he's a dominant top and a dad
guy. Oh, right.
Or dad guy.
I don't think he's married.
I mean, he could. Yeah, he's married. He could be bi-dominant, which means he's both dominant and submissive, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
No, I think he's bi-dominant, a top, and a dad guy. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Although, top
is
dad.
Is a dad guy like he's got like a... He's just a guy and he's... Oh, he's in his 40s.
Yeah, just a cool dude.
Just a dad bod.
Driving an SSV8 Commodore Ute. Looking for P-platers. Oh.
Yeah, I definitely think Aaron's on the money there. That's just a way to say...
Code for creepo.
Yeah.
You got some young dudes.
All right. Let's move on. Aaron, do you have one there?
Mind reader for hire, for children or adult parties. Looking for an unusual act for your event or party? Then look no further. Mind reader for hire. After successful seasons at Perth Fringe World in 2014 with Experiment and Mind Reading, and 2015 with Frank, the Mind Reading Hot Dog, both both shows nominated for Best Cabaret Award.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, Matt Penny wants to come to your party. Adults and children are always amazed at Matt's astounding abilities. He can predict numbers and pluck words from your mind. He can recreate drawings that he hasn't seen and tell you your date of birth. And he's very funny as well. It's just a picture of him in a hot dog costume. But this actually seems legitimate. Like, it's more legitimate than my comedy venture. Like,
well, would you consider adding this act to your stable of performers at Bad Comedy? Has he got what it takes?
I think it's too good for bad. He looks like he would know what to do.
What,
like,
in a mind reading situation? Or
if there was a MC for a wedding, I'd pick this guy over me. Like,
you don't have
you
a lot of
choose a mind reading hot dog over yourself as someone to host a wedding.
You've got some self esteem issues, young Aaron.
You know. Just in wedding related things.
I mean, look, this does look like a fun night. It is a mind, like there is no getting away around it.
He's won awards and stuff.
Yeah, and it's a mind reading hot dog. There's no getting around. That's exactly what it is.
You've got to find a way to differentiate yourself from the competition. Like, there's a lot of mind readers out there. A lot of them, you know, maybe they'll speak to your dead relatives. Some of them will tell you when you're going to die.
Boring.
Yeah. Which one is dressed as a hot dog?
Do you think it's the other way around, though? He's not trying to differentiate himself from mind readers. He's trying to differentiate himself from other entertaining hot dogs. He's like trying to pull away from the peloton of the hot dogs.
Yeah, right.
And he's trying to lead the pack.
I just like how it says, Matt Penny wants to come to your party. Like, I think, is this just this guy's way of getting invited to birthday parties that he wasn't previously invited to?
Because he dresses up as a hot dog. Yeah. Like, no one wants that at their party.
Yeah, but he's like, I know, guys, I really want to come to this party. Please let me come.
I mean, this is a pretty good strategy to get invited to a party, right? Like, there are worse strategies to get invited to a party than this. Have you guys ever done anything creepo or anything a bit weird to get invited to a party that you weren't invited to?
Yeah.
No. You said no, Aaron?
Yeah.
You've never done it? No?
Like, I already hate parties enough. Like,
you don't want to get invited to any more parties? Alex, interestingly, you said yes.
I just want to like make sure that I was invited to all of them. Yeah. Like, I think I go to about 15% of parties that I'm invited to.
Right, okay.
But when I'm not invited, I get very upset.
So what kind of things have you done to fish out invites from people?
I just remember there was maybe a friend in my group of friends, one of their girlfriends was having a birthday party, and for some reason I wasn't invited.
And you were incensed.
Yeah, I was like,
were you close friends with this
person? What's her problem with me?
What's up with that? Why is she hating?
Yeah, why? Come on. I'm only going to be good for you in your party. Like, it wasn't like it was like a small event. I think it was just like having drinks at the bar.
Yeah.
So did you like text her and be like, what's up? Like, or did you?
No. I think I got another friend to be like, oh, hi, I'm just hanging out with Alex. Do you mind if she comes?
Did you go to the party or did you just
blow it up? Yeah, I went.
Did you feel good about it?
Yeah. I made sure no one talked to the birthday girl.
Yeah.
No, just don't. Yes.
I mean, is that a way to get Alex Lee to your party then? If you want Alex Lee to come and she doesn't turn up to 85% of parties, should I not invite you to a party to make you want it more? Yes. Is that a good strategy?
That is actually a really good strategy.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll remember that for my birthday. I similarly feel very awkward about going to parties and stuff, Aaron. I'm not a big party fan. What are your prime sort of like neuroticisms involved with parties? Like, why don't you like them?
I don't know. I'm just like super socially anxious. Like, there's too many people. And like, I walk around a lot at parties to the point where I'm like, I should not be walking around anymore. Like, I've walked for much too long.
What do you mean?
Like, what do you mean? You're just like doing laps.
Like, because like, there's a lot of times at parties, I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you guys are cool people. But there's no place to sit. And you can't just stand. It's too planted. So I like.
Oh, you feel a bit self-conscious to stand.
But can't you stand and like be in a conversation with people?
Yeah, but then they disperse and I'm like.
So wait.
And then I walk past the same people too many times and it's like they've seen me walk past twice. This is a real thing.
It's like the idea that you're standing in a circle with people and then something happens that makes all of them leave except you. So, like, what are you saying to these poor people?
I'm like, hey, what do you guys think of walking around at parties?
Smoke bomb, everybody leaves.
Yeah.
Man, I, for a very long time, I was very, very bad at parties, like to the point where I used to leave parties. And there was a lot of parties happening around the university that all three of us went to or go to. Mm-hmm. And my office was nearby there as well. And I used to leave parties that would go there and be like, oh, I'm just going to the bottle shop. Does anyone want any beer or anything? Oh, I'm going on some cool errand. And then I would go to my office and play computer games. And then I'd come back like 2 hours later. It was like, oh, man, just ran into another party on the way to the bottle shop is where I've been for the past hour. Yeah.
And do you look like a social hero after that?
What do you mean?
Like, everyone's like, oh, he went to the bottle shop and he was at another party.
I don't think anyone believed my lies. I think everyone was like, yeah, sure you are. Why do you have, like, mouse hand cramps?
And also, you don't drink.
Yeah.
Why are you the video game world champion right now?
And where's all the beer here? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll have to go get it again. I'll be back in another hour. I don't know.
And more video games.
More video games, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, parties are terrible.
I'd do that.
Yeah?
No.
In fact, the most successful party I've ever been to,
yeah.
This is years ago, I went to a party that was being held by a girl I quite liked. Mm-hmm. And this is years and years ago, but it was like the most successful party I've ever been to.
I think that's part of the problem with approaching parties, but anyway.
Well, you don't go to parties with sort of goals and achievements?
Yeah. <Why not? laughs> Because they're not computer games.
Interesting. Yeah.
What percent would you rate this party?
Success-wise.
Wait, this was seriously... So this girl I had a huge crush on, and I was really worried about going to this thing because, you know, I'm awkward and I leave parties to go to play computer games and stuff.
Video games.
But I turned up and she had set up a Mario Kart like kind of lounge situation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is easy. I'll just plant myself here and I will just play video games and I won't even have to like hog there. I can just like let other people play as well. I'll just sit on the couch. I can just be here near a thing I know how to relate to. And then if she comes by, she'll just see me having fun with all these people. And then it was great. It was really easy.
It was so
and
good.
And plan worked out.
Plan worked out. Yeah. It was
Did you not leave the couch the whole night?
Basically, yeah. I mean, nice. This mm-hmm. solves your problem as well, Aaron, because there was seating. I didn't have to walk around.
Yeah. Man, so, more parties should have that.
Yeah, you should go to parties with a Nintendo now, Aaron.
Yeah, I'll just bring one everywhere I go, just on the fly.
Oh, not even just to parties, like to...
Yeah, like to, what like, if you get invited to a party?
Yeah, just walking around with a bunch of cables in your backpack.
Let's move on. Alex, do you have one?
Yeah, here's one from Eaton's Hill. Hello, Eaton Hill. Eaton's Hill. Army camouflage netting, $50.
Mm.
And there's a picture of that army camouflage netting kind of
like fake leaves out. Type thing, yeah?
Yeah, kind of. It's it's got that kind of mottled look of like plastic with holes in it, laid out on a carpet in a corridor in someone's family home. condition, used. Fair. I bought this netting for a school project for my daughter. It no longer has any use in my home. It has spent a few hours draped over a desk, so is in perfect as brought home from the shop condition. Approximately 3 meters by 2.3 meters. Pick up from Eaton's Hill. And I just, first of all, it kind of looks like. Did you guys ever in like primary school when you were doing under the sea, a term of under the sea stuff? Like,
right.
Did your teacher dress up the ceiling with that camouflage netting and then?
As though it was seaweed or something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, and then like put you'd all paint starfishes and put it on.
No, I went to a pretty underfunded public school. Is where I went, actually. we were lucky. I think for Under the Sea, we might have like painted a Lyclo blue, maybe, and then everyone's eyes became kind of strained.
And you all had to hold your breath and pretend you're underwater.
Yeah. But you went to, this is the thing that happened at your school. You pretended to be under the sea using camouflage netting.
Yeah, I think so. I think that I just remember having it. I think it was meant to look like seaweed or like fishing net or something. I don't know why it just reminded me of that. I feel like I haven't seen that since primary school days.
Well, that's certainly one explanation for what this school project is. I hadn't thought of that. I thought this school project was much more horrific and like it's the year three kind of like the unit on the horrors of war and hiding from the enemy. Yeah. Let's move on. Aaron, do you have one there?
Okay. Free concert tickets to performers/artists for a concert event in Noble Park, Victoria. Hi. So I am on the lookout for some artists/talented folks, singers or dancers, as well as event assistant to assist in venue prep, store help, stage crew for an event I am planning. The event will be in southeast Melbourne suburbs and in August. What's in it for you? 1. Free concert tickets. 2. Exposure. 3. Experience. 4. Clientele. 5. New friends. 6. Live entertainment and band. 7. Plus more. Contact me for more details or to express your interest.
So there is no detail on that whatsoever. Like, I have no idea anything about this gig.
There's 7 perks, though.
I just like that they've seemed to set up
the
concept of a festival. They're like, I'm putting on a festival. I need every single element of the festival.
Yeah.
And I'm getting all of it from Craigslist.
For free. They want everyone to donate their time to their festival. Now, I could understand if this was an event that was like raising money for a charity or something, or if it was a really famous event or a really big kind of event that you wanted to just be at and hang out at or something.
Yeah.
Like you get a backstage pass to Big Day Out or whatever. But this just seems to be a brand new event with no cultural capital that you're meant to go to and perform at for free. Aaron, will you do any gig?
For free?
Well, would you do this gig?
Would I do this gig?
So go through the perks.
7 perks.
Free concert tickets.
Is it? Are they separate to this or are they? You get free tickets to the concert you're performing at?
It seems very much like it's for this. Exposure. They're all good things in and of themselves.
But like if you're running a stall, like they're looking for stall holders, like is exposure that important for them?
Yeah. Would you do this gig, Aaron?
Maybe like the bands that respond to this would like amazing bands.
So what?
And
so
then if it's I like, get to watch these amazing bands.
So if it was like U2 or something.
Yeah.
Your favorite band of all time,
my
U2.
Band U2, definitely do it. I'd do it to watch U2 at this dumb concert.
This concert was just assumedly like on someone's back veranda.
Yeah, exactly. And U2's there. Totally. That's exposure.
Have you guys ever done free gigs just that are bizarre? Or like sort of gigs that... What's the weirdest gig you've ever done, Aaron?
Weirdest gig? Were you at that Paramasala gig a few years ago?
No, I don't think... What was that?
It was a paid gig, but it was for this... the Parramatta, like, multicultural festival. Like, the focus of the subcontinent.
Right, okay. So, like, we're talking places like India and Sri Lanka and...
And it was, like... People like Ronnie Chang and stuff, so they're good comics doing
it. And then
it.
Also you were on there?
And I was there.
Yeah.
And like there was 2 hecklers, like I think they were like on drugs or something, but there were 2 white people like shouting the most racist stuff, but thinking that they're helping.
What?
Like shouting like shoelace jokes and stuff. And then Ronnie Chang did a bit where he ironically said something along the lines of white people's parents don't love them as much. And they got so mad that he was being a racist, like, and they like said they'd fight him after the show.
What is the shoelace joke? I don't know what that is. Is that like your eyes look like shoelaces kind of thing? Is that the joke?
Oh, like you get blindfolded by
a shoelace. Yeah, it's because Asian people have thin eyes type thing. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they got so they were heckling racist things, and then Ronnie said like a funny ironic thing.
Yeah.
And then they all got upset about it.
Yeah, they got super mad, and they got mad at Jennifer Wong.
like the most loveliest comedian there ever existed.
Yeah, because she maybe said the word white people.
But like, if you are a bunch of, if you're a couple of white Australian dudes who seem to not like Asians very much.
Yeah.
Why on your Saturday afternoon are you like, let's take some drugs and go to this multicultural festival. Like, this is the best use of our time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, have you ever got heckled by like racistly by white people in your comedy, Aaron?
Apart from that?
Oh, you're getting heckled as well.
Oh, they did that joke at me.
Well, they yelled shoelaces at you.
Yeah, there was a break in my bit, and then he's like, what about this one? Yeah.
All right, let's round it out with this one that I just that Miles Portek sent in. Hello, thank you, Miles Portek, mm-hmm. former guest on the show, and it's entitled "Sucking All Soldiers Today." It's from the Casual Encounters section of the Dallas, Texas Personals section of Craigslist. It starts off like this: Happy Memorial Day. Which is like, I guess, the US version of, you know, Remembrance Day or Anzac Day or whatever.
Very solemn day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Happy Memorial Day. Looking to orally service any soldiers in town today as a thanks for serving our country. Hosting at my place, come by and have your cock thoroughly sucked and shoot your load down a willing throat. No strings attached or bullshit involved. Please provide your pick and info for a fast response. Available all day for your oral pleasure. That is a woman seeking a man, 25, in Midtown Dallas. That's great. Yeah.
Wow.
That is great.
What a patriot.
I know. How wonderful, right?
Yeah.
She's just someone who's like, yeah, I'm okay with doing this. Thank you for your service. I'll suck a bunch of dicks today.
Yeah.
It's great. Is there any possibility that this is a trap? Is there any possibility this is
a
trap?
You mean, do you think it's ISIS? I think they're like, this is how we can get a lot of American soldiers space.
These American dogs, they love sex. Yeah. Now, we'll lure them into our lair, into our Dallas lair.
And we'll give them a really bad blowjob. That'll ruin their morale.
I mean, it's possible. I was thinking it could be some sort of anti-war activist. And you go there and then they sort of throw shoes at you and say, it was only about oil or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very confusing to me. this situation is crazy.
I mean,
it's a very limited time too, isn't it?
Oh, it's just one day. Today. It's one day. It's a solemn day. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's NSA?
It could either be the National Security Agency or No Strings Attached.
Oh, No Strings Attached.
I thought it was No Sex Allowed.
Yeah.
There's been vigorous debate in the States over the last couple of years because of the way the United States government has failed to take care of veterans. And it is a really serious issue. Do you think this person has been sort of like inspired by people like Bernie Sanders, you know, chief of the Veteran Affairs Committee? And is like, hey, we all need to do our bit because the bloody Congress isn't going to do anything. So I'll do my bit to help out. You know,
do your bit on the home front. Suck a soldier's dick today. Uncle Sam wants you to suck all the soldiers' dicks.
I feel like this is a very big job.
Oh, so you think there's going to be a line around the block?
Like, too big of a scope.
She's promised all soldiers. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's just day. There's a time constraint.
Yeah, right. But that's there's going to be a scheduling like conflict. You know what I mean? She's going to, she might get like, you know, one person, she might get 30 people, whatever, but she'll be able to like allot them into appointments. Sure. I would think.
You're right. No, you're right.
And soldiers are they're very good at waiting.
Ah, yes.
They're on time.
They're on, very punctual. Yeah. They'll like, they know how to line up and they know how to do that in an orderly fashion because they're very, you know.
Yeah.
They've got that military.
It's regimented.
Yeah.
But what type of soldier would this ad draw? Would it be like, yes, ma'am, I'm here for my blow job?
Like very respectful.
Yeah,
and like
a respectful soldier or just the worst?
Thank
people?
You, ma'am. On this day when I'm remembering my fallen friends.
Yeah, maybe it would be, you're right, it would probably be quite difficult to enjoy said blowjob. Because yeah. It is, you're right, it is quite a somber, it is a very somber affair, you know, and you're there meant to be kind of honouring the war dead, and you're like, oh, but I could go a gobby. Like,
I feel like, I hope your American listeners don't get upset at this, because I know they're much more, in general, protective of their soldiers.
Look, I'm not saying this is disrespectful, I think it's great. Like, yeah. I'm very positive about this, and I don't see how you could be offended by this. Like, it's not like she's forcing herself on soldiers unwillingly.
Oh, right. She's not going up to them in parades and attacking
she's not,
them.
You know, she's just offering it if you want it, you know. So it's totally open. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean.
What about female soldiers?
Well, yeah, I mean that's an issue you could take up with her.
Yeah, I certainly will.
There's no gender equality in this sexual service ad. Although, you know, that's up to her, I guess.
Maybe she's working with other people.
Let's gender flip it, though. If it was a guy being like that, wouldn't that be a little bit creepo? If it was a guy being like, hey, lady soldiers, I'm happy to celebrate your service on Memorial Day by, like, eating your puss or whatever. Like, wouldn't that be a bit creepy? I would find that a bit. Is that sexist to me? I don't know.
I don't know. If there was a headline, okay, so just imagine I was like, this is my next one, guys. Eating out all female soldiers today.
I would probably, I mean, I don't know. This is very interesting. Yeah. Now, because
it feels like this is like when you flip it, you're like, oh, this guy has a weird thing for female soldiers.
Oh.
You don't think about it as a service.
Yeah, right. So you think we've gone very patriotic on this. Maybe this is all about her. Maybe she's just got a thing for men in uniform. Because that's a classic thing.
Totally.
That, you know,
she's just taking advantage of it. She's just like, let's just get it all done today.
And on Memorial Day as well.
I know.
Yeah.
Shame on her. Shame or well done.
Depending on your, depending on her motivation. Yes. Selfless or otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say what nationalities the soldier has to be either. It doesn't necessarily say American soldier.
So you think if you turn up from like the Syrian pro Assad army or something.
You said soldiers. Like.
Yeah. That would be so disappointing. My goodness. Because it is heavily implied, but not legally binding.
Yeah. You're like, well, I'm from the Kurdish
militia.
Yeah,
wow. All right, well, that is all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. I would like to thank Aaron Chen for being our guest today on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything people can find or follow you on, or geek that you have coming up?
Yeah, at AaronCH3N on Twitter.
Nice.
That's it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. A bad comedy, please respond to it.
If you want anyone for anything less than a wedding,
no wedding.
Anything like anything lower stakes than a wedding, you will happily find other comedians to do.
Yeah.
And Alex, thank you so much for co-hosting this week. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you for letting me be your Ben.
Yeah. Do you have anything coming up that you would like to plug? For example, on Wednesday this week.
On Wednesday this week, we are doing a live Dungeons and Dragons show.
You say it sarcastically, like it's like.
I'm trying to sell it. I'm not convinced. It's like we're getting a friend of ours, Dave.
Former guest on the show, Dave Harmon.
Former guest is organising it, and he's getting comedians who've never played Dungeons & Dragons before. Just give it a bloody go.
Yeah, which is myself, you, Ben Jenkins, and Simon Griner.
Yeah.
You would all know these people from this podcast if you're interested in that. So if you're in Sydney on Wednesday the 1st of July, we are doing a live Dungeons & Dragons podcast at the Giant Dwarf Theatre, so get along to that. Also, Alex Lee, you're going to be appearing, like I said, at the top of the show at our live Free to a Good Home podcast on the 16th of July at Giant Dwarf Theatre. You can find tickets to that on the Giant Dwarf website as well.
Yeah,
it's going to have some of the same people, actually. It's me, you, Ben, Simon Grimes.
You really have to start looking outside of your...
immediate circle of friends.
Yes.
Ah, people like it. and where can people follow and find you, Alex Lee?
Oh, you can find me at Alex_C_Lee on Twitter. I'm verified now. Suck it, everyone else.
Hey, you got a tick.
Suck my tick.
That's awful. How did you get that tick? Did they just do it or did you have to email them or what happened?
Look, I put out an ad... No, it's from through BuzzFeed.
Oh, they do it all right.
Yeah, yeah. But there are no fake accounts of me, so I don't know why they bothered. But you know, got it now.
There are three fake Michael Hings on Twitter that are posting some very awful things in my name
from recently.
Yeah, since I started at Good Game.
Yeah,
there have been a lot of people because I was quite and am quite anti-Gamergate. There have been people impersonating me. Tweeting pro Gamergate shit as though it's me.
Oh, right.
And it's a bit fucked. But
that'll teach you.
Yeah, but they won't. But I've like reported them on Twitter, and Twitter's like, nah, we're not taking them down. This seems like the kind of angry bullshit you might do, Michael Hink. Like it's, you know. Yeah. It's
you need they to get you. A tick.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can't all work for BuzzFeed, though. You know, some of us aren't verified journalists. I mean, I'm barely sure that I'm. You know, myself, letting other people verify.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at contact@freetoagoodhomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/freetoagoodhomepodcast, or search Free to a Good Home in the search bar on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at FTAGHpod. Thank you for the people who have been sending in their classifieds. We'll get to some more user submissions later in the week. And thank you so much for being a guest this week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.